Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. Once again, to the Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for giving me the opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. But for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com, at GODSWORD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. And so, without further ado, before we go into the lesson tonight, let us pray. Wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in me with in prayer, as once again we petition Almighty God for the presence of His Spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who once again has blessed us with a golden opportunity to come before you in humility and faith to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. And therefore, Lord, we come with our supplication, our petition, and petition you once again for the presence of your Spirit. Lord God, we acknowledge that without your Spirit, we can know nothing and do nothing, even to be pleasing in your sight. So therefore, Lord, remember us and see our need as we petition you for your Spirit to reveal unto us what thus says the Lord. And Father, I pray personally that you anoint the words of my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name as I present your word unto the people, all that are listening. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. We are continuing on. We're taking up with what is called the second message, which is the last thing that I left off with in going into the Word of God with you. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent through the Elijah that he spoke about in Malachi chapter 4, Matthew chapter 17, that he would send the Elijah. That's what he's been doing thus far, sending him with word from him unto mankind and they that will be of the bride. Once again, he's not sending him for in vain or for no purpose. He's not telling him, say, hey, listen, go visit people. He's not doing that. He's sending him for a reason. And the Elijah has been coming, the angel of the Lord, with the word of the Lord from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he sent this message out March the 4th, 1927. Amen. And once again, we come to understand that the angels of the Lord come at the appointed time of the Lord Jesus. They are not on my timetable or your timetable or on anybody else's timetable, but the Lord Jesus. Whenever Jesus tells them to go, deliver a message, that's when they come. Amen. And so, therefore, this angel who comes on the March the 4th, 1927, was the date that the Lord picked for him to come with the message. Amen. And we have been looking in the second message, and we have been, thus far, we looked at how this angel told us his name and told us his mission and told us something about himself. Now understand this, that this was authorization that came from Jesus for him to do that. See, the true angels of the Lord, they don't just go around saying stuff either. What they speak is under authorization of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, under authorization that came from Jesus, he gave us his name and told us something about himself. Amen. And so we're going to continue on in this second message. And another thing he mentions in this message that the Lord has him to tell us is to show us that God keeps to his protocol of establishing things. You said, well, what do you mean? Well, let me read this to you. He said, I am the man sent from God, and my name is John. I am the messenger to prepare the way. Now get this, he said, I am come again. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things should be established. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? According, now this is one of God's protocol in establishing things, and it's also his protocol in revealing whether something is from him or not. It has to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen? And so what Jesus is showing us through his angel messenger is that he have not deviated away from that pattern. Now, some of you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to look at some other witnesses on that to show that that's a pattern that Jesus laid down for establishment. So let's go to the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Once again, I know that some of you holler, oh, there he go again in this Old Testament. Don't he know that we are New Testament church today? And I tell you, yes, I do know. But however, once again, the spiritual principles still apply. There are some things that God mentioned in the Old Testament that he decreed. And once God decrees something, he doesn't change it. Okay. Now, of course, we're not under the law of Moses. We're not practicing the sacrificing of the blood of bulls and goats. No. Or the ordinances that came with that. No, we're not under that. Thank God. But there are some decrees that God has spoken in the Old Testament that is unalterable, that this is the pattern that he followed. Now, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start from verse 1. I'm going to stop at verse 6 because verse 6 is the key verse here. He said, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, but that is an abomination to the Lord thy God. If there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that have wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, and transgressing his covenant, and have gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any other host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Now, even here in the Old Testament, concerning a man or woman, if they did any wickedness, transgressing the covenant of God, especially worshiping, let's say, other idols, worshiping the sun, the moon, the host of heaven, you name it. God said that they can only be put to death in the mouth of two or three witnesses, not by one. Not by one just come and tell them, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so, they worshiping the sun and the moon, blah, blah. No, he said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? Hallelujah. So God, listen, look at how God is setting this up, even from the Old Testament. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, okay? Chapter 19, amen? And we're going to look at verse 15, okay? We're going two chapters over, still in the Old Testament right now. Praise be to God. Thank God for the word. Amen? Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Now, look what he says in verse 15, amen? He said, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, okay? And any sin that he sinneth. So he said, so one man can't rise up and speak against him. Hey, he's so-and-so sinning, blah. He said, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, And behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother, so shall thou put the evil away from among you. Now you said, well, Brother Nate, why did you go there? Because these witnesses can't be just any kind of witnesses. They got to be true. See, God, when he said in the mouth two or three witnesses, he's talking about true witnesses. Okay? True. Because that's the nature of God. God is true. God is not a lie. He's not taking in false witnesses. Okay? Hallelujah. See, when you're proving something by the word of God, it got to be by truth. True witnesses. I'm not talking about taking scriptures out of text to make it say something you wanted to say. But true witnesses on the subject. Amen? Amen. So God said in the mouth, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Two or three what? True witnesses. Not just any kind of witnesses. See, sometimes, you know, sometimes you can go find a bunch of people, you know, especially if they're going to see they're going to get some profit out of something to get up and say something about somebody. That's not right. Okay, so when he said in the mouth, two or three witnesses, it's not any kind of witness. And see, when the angel of the Lord said, I come again, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word may be established. Okay? Hallelujah. So if he sent of the Lord, hallelujah, to give the word of the Lord, he said that as I come to you more than once in the mouth of two or three witnesses, this thing is going to be established. It's going to be set up what God had me to tell you. Because I'm coming in the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Now, let's go New Testament. New Testament. Now, some of y'all who've been hollering about the Old Testament, now you can breathe. Amen. You can breathe now. Thank you. Because you know you like, oh, man, he go that Old Testament. Let's look in the New Testament. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15 and 16. Verse 16 is going to be our key verse. But we're going to look at these two verses here. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look what the word of God said. Now, this is Jesus, because you know in most of the whatever in your Bibles, when they have the words in red, they're saying Jesus actually said this. And so he said, moreover, if thy brother should trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But now look at verse 16. But if he would not hear thee, then what we do, Jesus? He said, then take with thee what? One or two more that in the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses everywhere may be established. Wait a minute. I thought God said that in the Old Testament. But notice that he hadn't changed. He hadn't changed going over here to the New Testament. That ain't changed. You understand what I'm saying? See, some things God said in the Old Testament was under a decree or law. That's not changed. Okay? It wasn't so much, as you say, part of the law of Moses, per se. But it didn't change. So God hadn't changed his protocol of establishing things. He said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So he said, here, if your brother trespass against you, tell him his fault between him and thee alone. And if he don't hear thee, then take with you what? One or two more that what? In the mouth of two or three witnesses. That every word may be established. Hallelujah. Do you see that? See, that's one of the things, one of the problems going on in the church today. There's a whole lot of thus says the Lord is being said, but people is not checking by the protocol of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Some people, some coming up to the church say, well, you know, the Lord told me you should be a deacon. You don't know a different men, for example, who have been under pressure in the churches because the pastor or someone else known in the church come up and said, well, God said you be a deacon. And they felt pressure because they felt like, well, if I don't just go ahead and step into that place, I'm going to make so-and-so mad, make my pastor mad, make other people mad, blah, blah, blah. And they feel pressured. Amen. Because they don't know how to test to see whether something is from God. Amen. And one of the ways you test it is there's got to be the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, in that witness thing, one of those witnesses have to come to you in your spirit. In other words, it's more than them just telling you. You got to get a witness in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to get the witness in your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Because that's the protocol of God. Okay? And what has happened, some people have hit, you know, hit a wall because they never used the protocol that God gave for you to use to see whether something from God or not. They didn't wait for them out 2 or 3 witnesses. Now, some of them didn't do it because they are in ignorance about it. Some of them didn't do it because they are afraid. Okay? Amen. And so they start stepping into the place where God has not called them, and then they're stepping into trouble, and so some of them have left the church. They're like, I just can't take it. Too much for me. I got to go. Okay? And you have some of the leaders in the churches who are not teaching people this. They're making people think or causing them to think that if I said it, blah, 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 just up and do it. See, there's some things me as even as a pastor know that, okay, if I tell them that whoever I tell in the congregation, they need to have a witness for themselves. I know that, okay? And I will be misleading them if I'm getting them to think that everything I say, they just up and just do. No, okay? I mean, if I come to, even if God revealed to me that so-and-so is called to be a prophet, I can go and tell them. But I know to tell them also, say, listen, whether it's a man, I say, hey, brother, or if it's a sister who God called to be a prophetess, I say, hey, sister, listen, God has showed me and revealed to me in my spirit that you are called to be a prophet, but I know that you need to seek the Lord about it and get a witness in your spirit for yourself. Case closed. Case closed. Okay. You know, there was one time in a church, a particular brother who was called to the office of an evangelist. And I heard the dust says the Lord come through another brother to him. And I even got a witness in my spirit that God was speaking through this other brother to tell this particular brother God has called him to be an evangelist. But also the words were in that revelation, let him prepare. And so when it came forth, I got an instant witness in my spirit that was from God. Now, the brother himself, whom the word was going to, he had no witness at that time. Well, I didn't keep at him about it. Brother, you get a witness, brother, you get a witness. No. I told him one time, I said, brother, no, you got to get a witness, blah, blah, blah. And I left that between him and God. Now, there were some times where, let's say, during that time, because he didn't move right, you know, it was a little while before he stepped in that place and getting prepared. And so in between the time when he hadn't done it, I had a brother to come to me and say, hey, what about so-and-so? You know, God has called me a man, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, listen, brother, that's between him and God. Okay, I'm not going to be at him on that, okay? Because I know that that's something he got to receive a witness in himself, and he got to want to receive a witness in himself, okay? But if he is slowful and not doing it, he got to answer to God, okay? That's between him and God. I leave that between him and God. I'm not, once again, I'm not in the thing of just keep at him about it. Something like that, you know, once again, God has to reveal to them by the witness of the Spirit. And the person got to want to be obedient or want to hear, amen, or want a direction or want to know from the Lord. That has to happen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, God's protocol, mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Now, let's go to another witness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, let's look at something Paul said here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Thank God for the word of God. Now, let's look at something here that the Apostle Paul said here to the Corinthian church, to the believers at Corinth, dealing still with the protocol. Once again, it hadn't changed. And the establishment of God and establishing things has to be the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Amen. That's where things are set up and firmly planted. That is from the Lord, okay? That's what the status is dealing with. It's things that are set up and firmly planted from the Lord, okay? Paul said, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, notice something that what we were seeing from these witnesses, Jesus, Paul, and Moses. Now, Moses and Jesus were talking about one or two different people. And here Paul is used, God used Paul to show us that the mouth of two or three witnesses can be the same person being sent by God more than one time. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, sometimes God will send two or three different ones to you. Sometimes he may send the same one to you more than one time. Okay? Said the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen? That's why Paul said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Why? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So we look at what the angel said in the message, which was his second time coming with this message. Amen? He said that I come again, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He said, I come again, not someone else, or I'm the second one coming, some other angel came the first time. No, he said, I come again, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, their word may be established. Amen? See, that's the protocol of God, okay? And see, many times we get into a lot of trouble when we don't apply that protocol. Sometimes people are just jumping because other people said. Now, don't get me wrong. We ought to respect those in leadership and respect people that have been in Christ for a while. But also on the other side, to keep it balanced, we got to also know that they're subject to error. Any of us. Amen. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord. Anybody is subject to error. Okay? Subject to missing. Sometimes we speak some things based on our emotions. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I might feel like this brother would be good for this thing. Feel like this sister may be good for this thing. Well, feel like don't necessarily mean it's witnesses, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that that's something that God agrees with. You understand? And so, therefore, you have to apply the right protocol. And so you got people today that have went into debt because such and such a, quote, prophet came and told us, thus says the Lord, go to the bank and draw out this money, blah, 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 and get that in. I'm going to bless you. Well, they went there, draw the money out, my God. Now they're in debt. They're mad. And one thing about it, when people see that someone that's supposed to be a prophet and all that have told them stuff and they miss it, you know, it's amazing. The first person they take it out on is God. Amazing, ain't it? They it's like because Deacon Jones missed it, or Sister Soldier missed it, or whatever, now you didn't quit coming to service, you didn't quit praying, you didn't quit studying, you quit having any communication with God. So if they the one miss it, why is you taking it out on the Lord? You understand what I'm saying? Why is you taking it out on God? Okay? Actually, you really hurting yourself, okay? You may hurt God by your actions, what you're doing, but overall, you're hurting yourself because what you going to do without him? Nothing. You ain't going to make it. You can counsel it. End of story. Okay? I mean, and that's what many times we find ourselves doing is that when someone in the church have disappointed us, misled us, or even deceived us, or whatever you want to call it, We cut off connections with God. Listen, the person may have missed it, but the word of God is still real. Amen. The word of God is not fake. It's not weak. The person may have missed it, but the word of God is still real. And we get to a point sometimes we treat the word of God like it was the one that deceived us. Okay. But no, it's the person that missed it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the angel says, I have come again that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things shall be established. Now, this is what else he says. He said, when I was here to see you the last time, I did not give you my name, but what I told you about the church is true. Okay, let me stop there for a minute. So the angel of the Lord, who said he is John the Baptist, resurrected angel of the Lord, the messenger to prepare the way, and to prepare the way also here in these last days, said that the last time he came, which was message one, because we're in message two, he said, I did not give you my name, but what I told you about the church is true. Okay? See, sometimes we get hung up in uncertainties or something that God may not deem that's important right then. Like angels in the Bible, all of them wasn't given names, you know, giving you their name, okay? Sometimes the angel of the Lord appeared, okay? And some people may look at that and say, well, how come we don't know his name? Because it wasn't important at that time. What was important was the message, okay? And see, here, this is what the angel was letting know. He said, when I came last time, I didn't give you my name, but what I told you about the church was true. See, that was the key right there. He let him see that was the key, to know that what I told you about the church was true. Not so much as that I didn't give you my name, okay? But now, in this second message, he was authorized by the Lord to give his name. Amen? Once again, angels of the Lord work on the timing of God. They don't work on my timing or your timing. They work on the timing of God. And if you even try to attempt ask them something out of timing, you might well just save your words because they ain't coming with nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So they speak under the timing of the Lord. They come under the appointed time of the Lord. Once again, they're not sitting in heaven or walking around saying, you know what, I'm bored. I think I go visit Brother Nate down there. I ain't seen him in quite a few years. Haven't heard from him. Haven't been able to write him a letter. He hasn't been able to write me a letter. Never go down there and see him. And just up and just take off. And God in heaven said, where's so-and-so? Oh, he left. No. I'm sorry. Don't work like that. That would be disorder. Okay? God ain't having that. The last one that did some disorder where he was, well, we saw what happened to him. Him and all his joker friends was kicked out with him. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what else he said. He said, okay, he says, when I was here to see you the last time, I did not give you my name, but what I told you about the church is true, and much more shall be revealed to you from time to time. Now, let's stop right there. Revelation from God comes from time to time. It's on a timely basis. Do we understand that? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and purpose for all things or everything under the heaven. That includes revelation. You know that? Amen. Once again, revelation is not on our timing. Okay? See, some of us are getting frustrated and upset because we're attempting to study the Word of God, and boom, we ain't getting it right then. Now we're slamming the book closed. I've been reading this last 2 or 3 days. I ain't got nothing. Sure, I'm tired. Well, guess what? He said time to time. So in between from the time you get one to the time it's supposed to come again, you're supposed to be sowing. And your sowing comes in studying the Word of God. Listen, you might not get revelation. You're not going to get revelations every day, but you're going to get a revelation if you stay at it. But see, you got to sow. You got to sow. See, what's going on with a lot of people today, they don't want to sow. They just want to, quote, reap. They don't want to put in the work. You know, we have been talking about this at one time on the broadcast. It's like the spirit, the secular world spirit has crept in the church. You know, the secular world, people want everything quick. Now they get to, like I said, you see, they get to a point, they just want everything quick. It's like no desire to really work for what you want to get now. You want it boom, bam, boom, bam. That's it. Amen. And that same spirit, my God, has crept into the church way where folks, even in studying the Word of God, they don't want to take the time to even study. Listen, if revelation don't come from God to them in 30 minutes, boom, they done. I'm talking about done for a while, okay, not just that day. Why? Because they don't want to sow the seed. They don't want to sow, okay? To hear from God many times in prayer, you have to stay in prayer. I'm not saying praying the same thing over and over, but you have to stay in prayer. The Word of God tells us that let our petition be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Okay? And we have to stay in prayer. But once again, people don't want to sow. And so when he said, much more shall be revealed from time to time. From time to time. Amen? Not on your timing, but on the timing of the Lord. You would hear, I sense the Holy Ghost just witnessing to me on that. Thank God for that. From time to time, people, that's when the revelation comes. See, somebody needed to hear that part right there. You've been getting frustrated. You've been reading studying some in the Word. You ain't got it yet. Now you're getting upset, slamming the book closed, blah, blah, blah. And now you're sitting there and now you're contemplating where you should open the book up and start studying. Why? Because you're frustrated. Listen, you and your time are sowing. Keep on digging. Okay? Keep on looking in the dictionary, defining words and looking in the concordance. I'm telling you, at the timing of the Lord, boom, he's going to put it together. Because, see, once again, the Word of God is like a big old puzzle. I know I sound country saying big old, but a big old puzzle, okay? And it takes the Holy Ghost to connect the right pieces. You understand? See, we'll try to connect the piece ourselves. And you know how many of y'all have, you've got a box of puzzles before. If you don't put the piece in right, it all fit funny. It didn't even look bad. You try to put pieces that don't fit together, and you just look down the eyeball, and you be like, ooh, goodness, man, my goodness, this ain't looking right, man. This ain't going to work. Amen. So that's what the Word of God is like a big puzzle that the Holy Spirit got to connect together. Amen. But see, it takes the sowing. And you to remember that revelation comes from time to time. Okay? Now, some of you may say, well, how come God won't tell us? Like, it's going to come in 2 or 3 days. Because how would you show your faith? If you know the thing ahead of time, how is it that you would exercise? You wouldn't need to exercise because you know the day that is coming. Okay? And see, that's why by faith you start. See, a lot of times we talk about faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for this and that, and that's scripture. But I very seldom and very rarely, and I can't tell you, even on one hand, have I ever heard it, that people talk about faith when studying. You understand that? How many people you hear talk about faith when studying? And we talk about faith for healing, faith for financial blessings, faith for this, faith for a miracle, blah, blah, blah. But what? How many times have you heard them start preaching or teaching about exercising faith when studying? Jesus said, without faith, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. There's nothing we can do without faith. That includes the studying, right, people? Amen. So he said that much more will be revealed from time to time. He said, come with me, and I will show you a vision. Now, here's the thing. When he made that statement, God is still in the business of showing visions. I just paused for a second because I want that to sink in. Because, you got some people that's teaching today saying that the gifts of God even today don't exist now because when the last apostle died, all the gifts went with him. And I said, where did you get that from? Amen. I say it's a whole lot of, sad to say, even among Christianity, a whole lot of strange teachings. And that's one of them. Because once again, you have some that teach that the gifts of the Lord don't exist today. Because when the last apostle died, that's when all the gifts went with him. I heard that, oh my goodness, probably about 15, 20 years ago. Something like that was being taught. I was like, man, I'm like, now where do you get that stuff from? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And see, God is still in the vision showing business today. Okay? Now, before I go into what he said concerning the vision, let's go into the Bible here and look at some scriptures on this. Let's go to Old Testament, the book of Joel, chapter 2. The book of Joel or Joel, however you want to pronounce it, chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 28, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at the word that God gave Joel for, I get this, the last day. See, this is why people that's hollering, oh, we're New Testament. You need to quit coming from the Old Testament. We're New Testament. There, the prophets in the Old Testament was giving things about the last days today. Why would we sit there and tear the whole Old Testament out or throw it away and talk about we're a New Testament church today and not go there when God let us know that, hey, I even showed things to the Old Testament prophets about what was going on today. So why would we do that? Okay. We're just missing the whole point. But here, anyhow, he said, verse 28, so, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, so God is not prejudiced, not on all white or all black, on all men or just women. He said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's under the power of the Holy Ghost, okay? He said, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall what? See visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days where I pour out my spirit. Amen. Now, see, this right here will point to the last days, which we're living in now. Joel saw it was revealed to Joel in his time. You understand that? That in the last days, God said he was going to pour out his spirit. And he said that your young men, your old men should dream dreams and your young men should see visions. Okay? See, God deal with the young and the old. See, when the God starts showing visions, he ain't worried about your age. You understand? By God is not worried about, ooh, he's so-and-so years old. Oh, she's so-and-so years old. No. He's still in the vision showing business today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give a definition from Webster of the word vision. And Webster says the word vision means something seen in a dream, a trance, or ecstasy. Especially, get this, a supernatural appearance that conveys a revelation. See, visions can convey revelations. Now, vision is different than a dream. A dream will convey a revelation, too. Okay? And hopefully one day we get to talking more about difference between dreams, visions, and trances. But this is a vision. It's a supernatural, okay, move of the Lord where he can reveal something, okay? Hallelujah. Where you have all your senses still active, but you're seeing this thing like a big picture to you. Hallelujah. And it has revelation in it. Glory. And see here, God used Joel or Joel to tell us that it's going to be through his spirit, by him pouring his spirit out upon men, all flesh in the last days, that by this move, it's going to cause visions, not just dreams, but visions to come about. And they're going to be visions that's going to reveal something. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Peter here is speaking, preaching, and the church have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. and such power was displayed that even people of different languages that was around heard those who were filled with the Holy Ghost to the overflow speaking their language. Okay. So if me and a Chinese man were standing next to each other, I would hear when they were speaking in tongues, speaking my language, they'd be talking and I hear it in my language, but this Chinese man would hear it in Chinese. You understand what I'm saying? So they were speaking and it was under the power of the Holy Ghost. And so Peter, starting in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 14, go to verse 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, what we just read. And it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, turn the page here, on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Did you hear that? So Peter said, hey, this is what y'all seeing. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon them. They'll feel the overflow, fulfilling what God gave Joel in the last days. And he let them know, say, hey, visions is going to come forth, okay, in these last days. We're in the last days, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That visions are coming forth. And that's why you got some of these people who out there teaching, you know, when the last apostle died, the gifts of the Lord went away. No. And like I said, that's not scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at one more here. Revelation chapter 9. Because we're looking at, see, God, in these last days here in the New Testament, God is into the showing of visions. And here, the angel of the Lord said, come and I will show you a vision. This is under the operation of the Holy Ghost, not under his quote own power per se, but under the operation of the Holy Ghost. And what he's letting us know, that God is still in the vision showing business today. He has not backed off from it, people. Okay. And some of you have come across other believers who said they had a vision. I'm talking about truly had a vision. And you start looking at them like they're talking about capital friendly ghosts. Now look at Revelation chapter 9. Look what John the Revelator said. And he says what he saw. He said, and thus I saw the horses in division. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So John said, I saw the horses in division. He was given a vision by the Lord to see this. Okay. He said, I saw it. Okay. In division. People, God is in division showing business. He ain't vacated that business. He's showing visions to people this day and time. Now, as I'm saying, you getting it every day? No, I'm not saying that. Some people may just get once in a lifetime, you know. But God is in the business of showing visions and giving visions, okay? Which is a supernatural act of the Lord. That's even revelation in it, just like with dreams. See, with dream, you sleep, and God is giving you revelation, showing you things. Here in the vision, you're wide awake. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to stop it there today. Lord, say the same. We continue this. Next time I come on, we will read about and talk about this vision that God had caused to come to pass that was shown to Brother Fetting. Amen. But what I wanted to end it with today is show you that God is in the vision showing business in these last days. And so despite what you have heard, and some of you know what I'm talking about, you have heard this, that when the last apostle died, the gifts of the Lord went away and blah, 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 and all that. Amen. That's not true. That's not even scripture. Okay. Hallelujah. The acts of the Holy Ghost is still going on today, people. I said it's still going on today. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So we just thank God for the word of God, for the message today, for this opportunity once again that the Lord has given to me to share the word of God with you. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All praise and the glory and honor due to him. And tomorrow night, don't forget, Lord say the same, Brother Manny should be on tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement there. And Lord say the same, we're looking for Brother Kevin to be on upcoming Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'm just saying that this is how things look now. Things may be subject to change. We just say if the Lord say the same. And then once again, on Thursday, I will be back once again to continue from the message here. Amen. And I am grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity. So let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because we have been blessed once again to be able to go into the Word of God to receive revelation and direction in ministering by the Spirit of God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that I have brought glory and honor to your name today and presented what you have me to present it unto the people. Those that have heard who have yet to get a witness, I pray that you will witness to them by your Spirit. Amen. Touch them by the power of your Holy Ghost and reveal what thus says the Lord. So, Father, we are grateful and we thank you, Lord, for the word of truth today. We lift you up and magnify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. I am grateful, and I have to say this once again for the Lord. This opportunity is giving me to share the word of God. And many times people, some don't understand, it is a battle sometimes to bring the gospel. Okay. I know that some of you may listen to us and you may think that we just have no challenges when we come on the air, things of that nature, but you're wrong. Especially when you are dealing with some of the deep things that you're uncovering to let the people know. And that shakes the devil's kingdom, makes him mad, and really come at you. Now, I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm just trying to show unto you that it ain't all cake and pies. Like something. Once again, some just listen to us come on this broadcast and they think that we don't have no challenges. But you, like I said, you're wrong. They've been challenged. And I have to say that I look at these challenges and I know why they have come. And I know what their purpose is and what even Satan working through it aimed to do. And that's why you hear me so many times that I am grateful just to be able to have an opportunity to present this message unto you, the listeners, okay? Because I know why many of these things have come. And I know what Satan has planned to do through it. I know his goal. But the Holy Ghost has strengthened me in my spirit to enable me to press on. And once again, it has been a challenge, but I thank God for his spirit. So, thank God for all of you that have been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and may God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord. everything else can wait. Lord, give.